because of your grace, and we thank you for it. And Father, I thank you for your word that will be spoken into the lives of those who hear it. And I pray, Father God, that they will receive the word by faith and allow it to get rooted, become rooted deep within them. Hallelujah. Changing their lives, changing situations and circumstances in their lives for your glory. And I thank you, Lord, for the honor of ministering your word. And we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I want to say this, brothers and sisters, if there ever was a time that we need to hear the word of God, it's now, which has always been time to hear the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? But what I'm saying, this is not the time to slack up.
That's right.
That's what I'm getting at. It's not the time to slack up. This is the time to press in even more. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
Don't let excuse me. Don't let what I say just flow over your head or bounce off your ears. I'm asking you to hear it. I'm asking you to hear it. Amen. Because it's the word of God that's going to keep us. Praise the name of the Lord. And once again, I'm going back pretty much best I can anyway, pick up where I left off last week concerning the call of God. The call of God. And the point that I'm trying to get across to you, and I've told you this many times, is that you have to understand that you weren't just born. You're not an accident. And even if the circumstances surrounding your conception was all wrong and completely out of the will of God, but the natural laws of nature took its course, and you are here, God still have a plan for your life. God will still bless you. He is blessing you. He is blessing you. Because no situation or circumstance catches God by surprise. Hallelujah. And regardless of how you may have been treated in the past, or feeling like you were just an afterthought, God still loves you, and he still has a plan for your life.
Amen.
There is a call of God on your life. Now, when I say call of God, and I said this last week, and I'll repeat it again this week, when I say call of God, that doesn't necessarily mean the fivefold ministry, although that's the call of God also. Amen. And for anyone that does not know what the fivefold ministry is, that's the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These are ministry gifts from Jesus himself. Amen. He is our chief shepherd. And by the way, let me say this. Jesus stood in all five offices. Amen.
Amen.
He's the apostle of our faith. Hallelujah. He's the good shepherd. Pastor and shepherd mean the same thing. Amen. He certainly was a prophet here on the earth. Glory to God. And he also stood in the office of the evangelist. Hallelujah. So that's commonly referred to as the fivefold ministry, but let's just say you are not called to one of those. And you may be. But if you're not called to one of those, there's still room for you here, and there's a place for you, a God-given place for you. And what I'm trying to do is encourage people to get hungry for God. Too many times we focus on the negative and what's not going right. Is there an amen out there somewhere?
Amen.
We get so focused sometimes on the negative and what's not going right, but we really need to get focused on, okay, Lord, here I am. Use me for your glory. What can I do? And I say this to you, and I've said it many times. It's important. I don't want you to forget it. When you don't know what to do, let me say it this way. When you don't know specifically what God wants you to do, you go ahead and do what's available to do. Do what's right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I wasn't always a pastor. I wasn't always a teacher. Matter of fact, and you've heard me say this also, that when we are faithful in little things, God will make us rule over much, because we're proving to him that I can be trusted in the small things, therefore you will trust me with larger things.
Amen.
So I learned to be faithful in the small things, things that nobody knew about. Being a blessing to someone. Sweeping the church floor. Cleaning the commode if necessary. Driving a van. By the way, ladies, I want to tell you, this past weekend was not the first time I drove a van. I drove vans before I became a pastor. Hallelujah. I remember Kathy and I had the church van, not this church van, this church we were attending. Pastor sent us out into the community with what we had, food. And we drove throughout the community, blessing people with food, having an opportunity to pray with them. If they didn't know Jesus, we introduced Jesus to them. And we've had some of those folks years later. And we had forgotten some of them, but they remembered. Amen. And I've said this, and I don't know why I'm saying it again, but I'm saying it again. Anyway, sometimes we get so focused on the big things that we completely forget the little things. And remember, with whatever we do, we're instructed to do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
To the glory of God. Hallelujah. Me being faithful to God, I believe, hear how I'm saying this, that there is a pastoral gift that Jesus gives to those that obey the call. But I just believe, folks, that the greatest gift when we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, not the white throne judgment, I believe that the greatest gift will be given to us because of our faithfulness. You listening to me? Because of our faithfulness. Because we're faithful to Him, we love Him, we want to serve Him. We may not know and understand everything about the call on our lives, but we want to be faithful to Him because we love Him.
Amen.
Look at me a minute. Usually when I get up here, and the Lord began to deal with me about some things, and that's just my ministry, okay? Praise God. But I want to remind you of something, and those of you that's watching. Jesus said that in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. Did you hear me? Now, just in case you didn't hear me, I want to repeat it. Jesus said, in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. In other words, folks start cooling off. Their interest will be somewhere else other than God. We never want to put God on the back burner. Are you still here? Whatever you do, love God, love God, love God. Remember the two commandments? Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus said the first one is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In other words, everything in you. Love God. Love Him. And you do know He loved us first. We love Him. And the second one, Jesus says, is like it. You love your neighbor as yourself. Notice, they're just alike. You love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Then you love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible also says, how can you say you love God if you don't love your neighbor? In other words, how can you say you love God who you don't see, but you hate your neighbor who you do see, that's made in the image and likeness of God Himself?
Amen.
Now, y'all can say amen or not, but that's good preaching.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We must love one another and we must love God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, that's my introduction. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, yes, we are called of God. We have a place here, and we want to function in our place. Amen. But you have to know and understand that you have value. A lot of people struggle with that. They struggle. They look at themselves in the mirror, and they don't like what they see. They don't like their past or they whatever. But I want to say this. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And notice he didn't leave self out. You should love yourself. And when you love yourself, doesn't mean you're all puffed up and think, well, I'm all that. You know, I'm, how they say it? All of that and a bag of chips. Is that way it go? Yeah, well, we don't want to think that way about ourselves because we're nothing without him. But yet I am created by him. When I look in the mirror, I'm looking at God's creation, a reflection of it anyway, of God's creation. So I should love myself. We should love ourselves, but we should also love our brothers and our sisters. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, Pastor, I've heard that before. I know. Get ready, you'll be hearing it again. Listen, it's important. It is important. Praise God. So, praise God. Knowing then that we are called by God, there's a place for us. This should give us hope. This should give us hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13 says, three things abide. Faith, hope, and love. Or if you're reading King James Bible, it would say charity. But it's love. Faith, hope, and love. So hope is a very important part of our lives. Knowing that God sent me here, fact that I'm here should give me hope. Knowing that if I walk with God, he's going to carry out his plan for my life. I remember when I was overseas, when I was in the service in Thailand, I met some brothers. And I was born again already, but I had a lot to learn, and I learned how to share Jesus with the other GIs and anyone else that I met. And one of the things that they would always tell that individual that they were sharing Jesus with is, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. And that's usually the way they would begin. And then they would share Jesus with them, take them to the scriptures and share Jesus with them. But they wanted them to understand first, God has a plan for your life. You're not an afterthought. You know, there's a reason you're here. But knowing that should give us hope. Amen. I am in the plan of God. We won't go there, but in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, it says that we were called with a holy calling. All of us. I said all of us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. We are to have hope because of what God has done. And hope is simply this. It's a happy expectation of something good. Amen. I said amen. I remember when I was working at the county courthouse and then later on for the Pepsi-Cola company, and I joined Brother Jim over the Pepsi-Cola company. We had different jobs, but that's where I met him. Got to know him. Amen. But we used to listen at Oral Roberts. You remember watching Oral Roberts on our little black and white TV? Yeah. And how did he say that thing? Something good. Y'all remember? Say it again.
Something good is going to happen to me today.
Something good is going to happen to you today. Guess what? That brings hope, don't it?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. And that's the way we should live our life. Yes, Pastor, don't you hear the news? Don't you know? Understand something. Yes, we in the world. But we are not of this world. We are to be governed by heaven, which is the word of God. Yes, we have to walk in wisdom and the things we have to do, but we are not to live a life of torment because of what's happening in the world. Because God is still God. And I've read the end of the book, and I hope you have too, but if you haven't, let me tell you this. I have read the end of the book, that is the Bible. We win.
Yes.
God wins.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So, hope is expecting good, a happy anticipation of something good. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. Hallelujah. Now this should give you hope here. Romans the 8th chapter, the 28th verse. And we know, put that on the screen for me, please. Hallelujah. I know you have your Bible, so you just hold your place there, but I want you to look up here for a moment. Hallelujah. Look at this. And we know, everybody say no.
No.
Say it again.
No.
Now, there's some things we need to know. Amen. I say there's some things we need to know.
Amen.
And we know that what?
Stop
right there. Now that word all there is a little complicated. Y'all help me out. We got some college graduates in here and some well-educated people. So somebody tell me what all mean.
All.
All means all. Like Minister Tony said, every bit of it. And we know that all things work together for what?
Good.
Now, let's stop right there. See, this should give us hope right here. It may not be good. It may not look good. It may not sound good. It may not feel good. But we know that all things work together for good to who? Those who, oh, stop. I know we're breaking it down. For those who what? That's what I told you earlier, right? To those who love God, to those who put God first. God is not a backup batter. He's not a second string quarterback. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and what else?
To those who are
what? Okay, yeah, y'all finished it, but let's stop. To those who are called, say that's me.
That's me.
Say it again.
That's me.
Say it again.
That's me.
Hallelujah. To those who are called, and he has a purpose for our calling, according to his purpose.
Amen.
Glory be to God. So, I'm staying with the Word of God. How about you?
Amen.
I'm staying with the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I hope you underline, if you haven't already, underline this in your Bible or highlight it on your tablet or whatever you're using, and go back and read it often. Read it often. Hallelujah. Put your name by it. Make it personal. And this is the reason. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6. I'll just pick it up at verse 13. And when God made a promise to Abraham, this is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. That's Abraham. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immeasurable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope, look at this, verse 19. This hope we have as an what? Anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Glory to God. And I'll just go ahead and read verse 20. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Let me tell you something. When we hope, in other words, when you hear the word of God, let's use this for an example. When you hear the word of God, and you hear verses like Jesus himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, verses like by his stripes we were healed, verses like give and it shall be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And I could go on and on and on. When we hear those, that gives us hope. If you broke, guess what? Now the revelation has come that you don't have to stay broke. If you're sick in your body, now the revelation comes that Jesus took your infirmities. He bore your sickness or our sicknesses. That there is hope for us. And I'm talking about on this side. We know there's hope also on the other side. And too many times we only focus on the hope on the other side. Glory to God. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited about the other side. Does anybody say amen? I'm excited about the other side, the hope. Glory to God. I'm excited about when I stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ on the other side. I'm excited about that. Praise God. And that and that's going to happen. But you know what? We've got to live here on this earth, and we must not become discouraged. The opposite of hope is discouragement. Oh, I heard what the Bible says. I heard their testimony of how God delivered them, but oh, it could never happen to me. It could never happen to me. I don't measure up. I was born in the wrong family. You know, I was born on the wrong side of the tracks. You know, I don't have the education that they have. You know, you can come up with all kind of excuses. That breeds hopelessness. But hope will anchor your soul. Even when it's dark outside, you are anchored on the promises of God. You know this is going to change for me. Now, what do you have to do then? You have to get in the Word of God and develop your faith.
That's right.
Amen. Do you know in Hebrews 11, very first verse? Go there for me, please. Hebrews 11, 1 on the screen. I want to show you something. Notice, and I know you can quote this by heart, most of you. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is referring to faith, right? Right?
Amen.
Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. But notice what it says. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You had to find out that you could have it before you could ever believe for it. I remember a time in my life and Kathy's life, we were so broke, we couldn't pay attention. But some men of God and women of God began to speak into our lives and show us in the Word of God where you don't have to stay where you are. You don't have to stay, you don't have to remain in the condition that you're in. All right, now hear me. I found out, I didn't have all the details yet, but I found out I don't have to remain here. What does that say? Tell me more. I need to hear, because my faith comes by hearing. I just found out, brother, that I don't have to remain in the condition that I am in, but I need to know how to get out. And as the Word of God began to be spoken and we did our own research in the Word of God, faith began to grow.
Yes. Amen.
Faith began to grow. Amen.
Amen.
And we learn to walk by faith. Amen. And not by sight. Now we look around and everything looks the same. But it wasn't the same.
That's right.
It was the same on the outside, but something changed on the inside.
Amen.
Now, my faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Glory to God. But you have to have hope. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But hope keeps your mind stable. It's an anchor of your soul. You know, the Bible says that we're spirit, soul, and body. The devil loved to get in your head. He loved to get you thinking. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just believe, think I'm right on this. Some of you have had some challenges. And you have been tempted to question. The Word of God. You've been tempted to question God's promises. Because you look around you and things are not happening the way that you wish they were. But I want to tell you, don't you ever doubt God's word.
Amen.
Don't you ever doubt God's word. He is faithful that promise. He is faithful that promise. Hallelujah. There may be, you may be in, on one of those. They don't have as many of those now as they used to. How many of y'all remember about the only road you could ride on unless you was in town was old dirt road with a lot of potholes in it and so forth? But let me tell you something. You might have been bouncing off of potholes, but you were still riding. You were still moving. You didn't say, oh, forget this. Stop the car and just get out. Say, I give up. No, you keep on riding. It might be bumpy. Might be bumpy. The road may be bumpy, but you keep on riding. You keep on believing God. You keep on trusting God. You keep on standing on His word. And don't you lose your hope. Because when you lose your hope, you're saying, it can never happen for me. It's, as far as I'm concerned, I'm hopeless. You don't want to go there. You hear me?
Amen.
You don't want to go there. God is faithful.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, I could go on further, but I'm going to stop right there. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you.